Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad loved to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. This month we've had our Christmas series on the reasons Jesus came to earth. Today we conclude our study with the last reason, to provide a priest for the redeemed. Thank you for joining us this month to celebrate the coming of our Lord. We appreciate your heartfelt letters, emails, and messages to us. On Facebook we heard, "The messages by Pastor Salem got me through 10 years of living in Leavenworth, Kansas, and working at the prison there. I'm forever grateful." And from Missouri, "We are so thankful you have brought your program to our town for so many years. It has been a great blessing for my husband and myself to be able to worship with you and hear such wonderful messages from Pastor Salem every Sunday morning." Now let's join Pastor Salem and his message titled, "Christ Came to Provide the Redeemed with the High Priest." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weeks roll by and we can all gather together all over the world. And we gather together around the throne of grace at the feet of Jesus and worship His wonderful, beautiful name. So we just welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. God bless you. And we're looking at the psalmist who writes in Psalm 56, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Be he fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I'll trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I'll not fear what flesh can do unto me." And Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're such a great God, that we can just rely upon You and rest in You and know that You'll ever watch over us and that You'll never leave us or forsake us. And now we pray that You'll bless this service. We pray that many will come to a saving knowledge of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that those who are having troubles and trials or maybe are lonely, that You'll comfort them by Your word and Your spirit. And we'll give You the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to start us off today and sing a song. It's still the greatest story ever told. And God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, thank you, God.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw, these tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, the glorious, greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, here a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
Well, thank you, Hank, and that's surely true. It's the greatest story ever told. And, you know, all this month of December, we've been thinking about why did Jesus come? And we see that he came to, you know, to show us the invisible God. He came to show, pay for our sins, came to show us the love of God. And so all the emphasis on that greatest story ever told. And you know something else? We never get tired talking about it. And I've been preaching 73 years, and I love to preach about it. And every time I preach about it, it's new and freshing and beautiful. The wonderful story of Jesus. Well, we want to thank all of you for writing to us. I want to thank you for all you also for all of the Christmas cards and letters that you sent. It's just so nice of you. And I just appreciate everyone. So thank you and God bless you. And now we hope that more of you will write and we'll share some of the letters. And I want to share some of them now. The first one is from Alba, Mississippi. And this person writes, last week on your show, a lady said she was lonely and I felt the same way, taking care of my terminally ill wife. Then some time ago, you showed me the way to the Lord. And since then, I talk to Jesus every day. It makes me feel so much better. Thank you and all the Christian worshipers for your work in the Lord. And so this is a man, and he has a terminally ill wife. And sometimes he has a heavy heart, but then he has Christ. And Jesus helps us, and he gives us, you know, God tells us that when we receive him, if any man be in Christ, if anybody accepts Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And when we accept Jesus, he doesn't clean up the old nature. We work on that later. But he gives us a new nature. We're a new person. We're a new creation. And that new body and that new person within us gives us strength and help and courage and faith and hope. And I don't say that he's going to heal all of our sicknesses, and because some people he doesn't heal, but he'll give you strength and make life worth living. And that's just what this dear brother is talking about here. Now here, let's see, Johannesburg, Michigan. Dear Christian Worship Hour, praise the Lord for your programs. We need to present the simple gospel as you do, plus nothing and minus nothing, telling the lost of God's forgiveness and salvation for their souls. And this is from an evangelist Glenn Pethers. And if you want to hear about him, you can get onlyjesussavesministries.com. And we're always happy when a brother in Christ writes, and we want to support everyone who preaches the gospel. So I just pray for this brother. Here's Bismarck, North Dakota. Keep up the great work. I'm praying for the Christian Worship Hour. God bless you all. I am a disabled American veteran. And, you know, we hear from a lot of veterans, and some of them in Korea and some Vietnam and, oh, God, all over the world, it seems. And so we just thank them for their service. And we think of the people that battle all over the world. There's veterans all over the world from other countries. And in their sorrow and in their hardship, may they turn to Jesus, because he'll help them. He'll give them strength. He'll give them peace. Help them to come to Jesus. Let's see. This is Tucson, Arizona. Thank you for your service to the housebound. And that's exactly what we do. We think about people that are housebound, and especially in the winter now with the wind blowing, and I don't know how cold it gets where you live, but up in South Dakota here, it gets so cold you cannot believe it. One day I stepped out of the house, it was so cold, I looked down, I thought maybe I forgot to put my trousers on. Just went right through me. And so we're tough. And these people living all over. Well, some of these people can't get out. And I will use a walker now. And I can get around really wonderful, but I'll tell you, when the one thing happens and I stop in my tracks, ice. You never get out on ice. And so we can minister to these people, and they can't get to their church anymore. And that's what God told Isaiah to do, and that's what he's telling the Christian Worship Hour. Comfort ye, my people. Here's Center Reach, New York. And this person writes, I love the way you are so true to Jesus Christ and his word. It is exciting that people all over the world are hearing your service and committing their lives to Jesus Christ, and that we will see one another with Jesus in eternity. We can surely rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Joy and love in Jesus Christ. And so I think too, you know, I just wish I could see all of you. And some of you can see us, but all of you on shortwave radio, you can't see us and you can't see each other. We can talk to each other and we can get to know each other over the lines like this, but we're going to see each other face to face. And won't that be glorious? And I know there are going to be multitudes. I know every time we give the gospel, every time we tell about coming to Jesus, I know that all over the world there are people praying. And what do they pray? They pray, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to come into my heart, dear Jesus, and wash away my sins and take away my sin. And then I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my evil ways. Jesus taught repentance. And repentance means a change of mind. And so you'll turn. Some of you, it's a big change. Some of you are morally pretty good, so it won't be such a big change. But there'll be change in your attitude, and there'll be change in your goals and all of that. And then so you just say, Dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. Take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Be sure to thank him, and then tell somebody what you did. And if you're some of these men that are around the house and you never go to church and you never say anything about Jesus, but you prayed that prayer, you go and tell your wife, I accepted Jesus. And you know what she'll do? First thing she'll do, she'll faint. And then when she comes to, she'll make a meal like you never had before. So just tell about, don't be ashamed of Jesus. You know, if you're ashamed of Jesus, you know why people don't like to confess Jesus? Because the devil hoodwinks them, and he makes them think that, oh, they'll laugh at you and you'll get into trouble or something. That's the devil's trick. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. There's nothing to be ashamed out in Jesus Christ. I can tell you that. Let me see. Here's McIntosh, Minnesota. And look at this. Now, this makes me very jealous, and I might as well confess my sin right now. But here it is. My late father, who lived to be age 102, just think of that. He lived to be 102, and I'm only 96, and I thought I was somebody. And so I got to get to work here, stay on. But you know how long I'll stay? I'm going to preach until 3 days before my funeral. And so whenever that is, that's up to the Lord. And here he's praying. And then he says that he enjoys and was blessed by your program. Here's Glendale, Arizona. This is my first time tithing. I know it's not much, but it's a start. I hope we can become friends. And so here's a dear person, and they started tithing. You know, I started tithing as a little boy. My mother taught me if you got a dime, you put a penny in them at Sunday school. All my life I've tithed, and it's the most wonderful, glorious thing in the world. And God tells us, Jesus told us in Matthew 23, verse 23, we ought to tithe. And I know some of you think, oh, I'm gonna take it with me. I'm not gonna let go of it. I read about a man, and he had quite a lot of money, and he had a plan worked that when he died, he could take this money with him. And you know what? Next Sunday, I'll tell you who he was and how he turned out. So be sure to tune us in next Sunday, and you'll find out. And tell all your rich people that he's going to talk about a man that had a way to figure take his money with him. See, so we'll just tune us in. You'll just love it. One more, Lecompton, Kansas. Many times your message seems to be directed at me. I regard this as a blessing, because we're searching for the truth, and your message helps me understand. And we just get letters all the time, and they'll say, well, it just sounds like you're just talking to me, just figured me out, and I don't know them from Adam. I don't know where they live. Maybe they live in Timbuktu. Maybe you live in Africa, India, China. Who knows? And then I'm preaching, and lo and behold, he thinks that's a preaching just to me. Now, do you know why you feel that way? Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And so I preach the Bible. I preach the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes that. See, and you listen. And the Holy Spirit takes it and he applies it. It's tailor-made. And maybe people with 50 different kinds of sins and shortcomings and failures, he'll in their own field put his finger right on it. That's because it's the living Word of the living God. And I love to preach it. And I tell you, every time I preach, I know there's multitudes turning to Jesus. And I know there's a lot of people that are lonely and they're weary and they're finding out Jesus is with them and they find comfort and help. And so it's just so wonderful that we can do that. And we do that because you support us. You support us with your prayers. You support us with your gifts. And we have to have your help. And what you need to do is just say, now, dear Jesus, is this ministry something that I should be supporting? Do you want me to help these people? And if he says yes, you say, how much? And he'll tell you. And you send what he says. If he says no, there's others. I want you to support others. I want to support different things. Then you just do that, see, because there's other good people preaching the gospel too. But if you think this is a good work, then you need to write to us. And I'll tell you what you do. You write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And it's the box is number 2002. 2002. And you just can't believe it's so easy. That's all it is, box 2002. And then we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. USA. It's there on your screen, but all of you on shortwave, you don't have a screen, do you? So get your pencil and paper and write this down, Christian Worship Hour, and then you put down the box, 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'll tell you something else. Would you like to do a miracle with your gift? Here's how you can do a miracle. You get us on the shortwave radio, on internet, and it's christianworshiphour.com, christianworshiphour.com. And there is a place there that says donate. And if you live in Africa, and we just got a gift from Norway, it'll say donate, and you put in how much you want to donate. You put that in your currency, and just like magic, in seconds it'll be here, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. So it's just like we're going to pass the offering plate in just a minute, and then you could give the gift right now. But we have to have your help. And James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they figure you're all right. Now, something else I want you to think about, and that is we have a little publication called The New Song. And we have a little Bible study every month. The month of December, we're talking about the light of the world. the light of the world. And so you tune this, you write to us and get for the new song. And then if you, and it's free and postpaid. I know people say, oh, how much? I can't afford to subscribe to anything. You don't have to subscribe anything. You just let us know. It comes free and postpaid. And we're going to do that until we go broke. And then we're going to stop. And one other thing I want to share with you, and that is, I know you're thinking, there's so many scams. And how do I know that that old guy, 96 years old, maybe he'll get a sports car with that money. And he'll zip around town. How do I know how he spends that money? Well, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. And do they audit it? They're a pain in the neck when they come around. They are into everything. And they check exactly how what we receive. We have to receipt everything we have. And they check on how we spend it. And here's something that else they do. They say, are they spending it what they're saying they're spending it for? And then so they check us out. So you don't need to worry. Your gifts are safe. So now Jan's going to play. Now I'm going to pray. And you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for supplying our needs through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 7. I know some of you have your Bibles with you, and so you can turn to Hebrews chapter 7. And then we're going to read the scripture, and then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kenya. And every week we pray for the persecuted church somewhere in this wicked old world. And all over the world, Christians are suffering as never before. And so we're going to pray for those in Kenya. So it's Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that saith unto him, the Lord sware, and did not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifice, first of his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh man high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this beautiful passage of scripture, because it talks about Jesus, the great high priest, and how that the priests used to be here, and they would do their services, and then they would die, and another one would come, and then they'd die, and another one. And now Jesus came, and he is that one great high priest, and he will never die. And he is a priest king forever and ever, and he's our Savior when we put our faith in him. And he intercedes for us then as our high priest. And when we sin and when we do our blunders and when we go when the devil tricks us into something, or sometimes with our eyes wide open, we commit sins. And then we confess them. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that great high priest Jesus intercedes for us. Thank you for Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Kenya. They are those in the persecuted church. Some of them have been put to death. Some of the children have seen their parents put to death. Some of them have seen their churches destroyed, and they've lived in fear. And oh God, just do bless them and help them to know that you are with them, and help them to know that they're great encouragement to us. And it helps us to stand up for you and not to be a coward and not to take second place for anything, because many of you have died for them, for Jesus, and will help us to be willing to do the same thing, Lord, wherever we live. So just bless the people in Kenya. Now bless us in our service, that all glory and praise will go to Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. In his name, amen. Melissa's going to sing, "I Can Only Imagine." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and you had it just right. You can only imagine. We can have the wildest. St. Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the glorious things God hath prepared for those who love him." And in your wildest imagination, we cannot imagine what it'll be like. For instance, just to see Jesus, just to talk to Jesus. and to see God. No man hath seen God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him need to worship him in spirit and in truth. But in there will be a spirit too. We'll have that spiritual eyes. We'll see God. We see the glory of heaven. Oh, won't that be something? Well, we're going to conclude our studies and our sermons on why Jesus came. We've had them all during the month of December, and five different sermons. The first reason we had was that Jesus came to reveal God, the invisible God, and then he came to fulfill prophecy, and then he came to sacrifice for sin, and then he came to demonstrate the love of God. And now today, the fifth one is to provide a priest for the redeemed, a priest for us who received Jesus as our Savior. And it all happened like this. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and they have a wonderful fellowship with God. They are innocent, and they are perfect, and they have never sinned, and they had daily fellowship with God, and they walked and talked with God. But that all ended because sin came upon them. They sinned against God, and it was a sin of disobedience. It wasn't that they killed somebody or something or cursed God or anything. They just disobeyed God. And that disobedience to God is something that God just despises. And that's why we ought to be so careful to follow him. Not that he's going to put us into hell because of where's his child, we're his child forever. But we break our fellowship with Jesus when we have sin. And so we confess that sin and God forgives us. And so this Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they get along. And the minute they sin, then God puts them out of the garden. And then he makes it so that they can't come back into the garden. He puts a flaming sword at the entrance of Eden. Now, sin always brings around this separation. And God always, for instance, you see the separation between God and man when you go to Mount Sinai. And God's going to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. And so he talks to God. And where there's a boundary set at that mountain. And this great mountain says, you can't come beyond that mountain, that boundary. And if you come beyond that boundary, you're going to be dropped dead. And there's lightnings and there's thunders and there's sounds, all kinds of sounds. And it's all because the man has sinned. And there's a valley there. There's a break there, you see. And then you see it when God made the tabernacle in the wilderness. And later on, he made the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. You see the same thing because heavy veils were there to separate people from going to the Holy of Holies. And because of this broken relationship between God and man, he has it set so that there can sin. We can't have any fellowship with God. And so he has a priesthood. He established a priesthood. And they go between people. They go between God and man. They represent us to God and God to us. And the priests are taken from one tribe, the tribe of Levi. Can't be taken from any other tribe of Israel. And so from the tribe of Levi, they come these priests. And some of these priests weren't good and some of them were evil men. But they always came from the tribe of Levi, just like God told them. And this priesthood was in place for centuries. And then one day Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he came as the Lamb of God. And he was slain and died on the cross and he paid for our sins. And when he did that, three things happened. When Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, three things happened. First of all, animal sacrifices ceased. No more animal sacrifices. And the second thing, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And the third thing is the Levitical priesthood ended. So now let's look at those three things. First of all, sacrifices ended. There was a continual line of animal sacrifices from the Garden of Eden to the cross of Calvary. They were always having those sacrifices. And then when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and he died on the cross, those sacrifices ceased. They didn't need animal sacrifices anymore because the animal sacrifices never took away a single sin. It only covered the sins. And when Jesus came, he washed them away. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're like wool. He says, your sins and iniquities, oh, I remember them no more. He says, they're buried in the deepest sea. And then he says something that's impossible. He says, as far as the east is from the west, how far is that? He's removed our sins. He washed them all away. And so you don't have animal sacrifices anymore because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And it washed them away forever. The Apostle Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Christ's sacrifice ended all sacrifices forever. And it shows that the superiority of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, paid for all the sins of the world. So sacrifices ended. And then the second thing is the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When they built that temple in Jerusalem, or they had it in the tabernacle in the wilderness also, but in that great, beautiful temple in Jerusalem, there hung a big, heavy veil, and that hung there to separate sinful man from a holy God, and he couldn't go beyond that veil. And once a year, they had what they called the Great Day of Atonement, and the high priest then, all of Israel, would gather around that temple, the tent out in the wilderness, and then in Jerusalem, they all would come, and then the priest would go in, and he would offer a sacrifice for his own sins first, and then he would offer a sacrifice for the sins of the nation. And having done that, he would take the blood of the sacrificed animal after it, and he would take it into the Holy of Holies. He would go beyond that veil once a year. The great high priest, and only the high priest. And he had to have the blood, and he had to have that sacrifice for himself. And then he would go beyond that veil, and he would sprinkle it on what they called the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was a gold overlaid box. And inside that box were two tablets of stone that Moses had received at Mount Sinai. It contained the Ten Commandments. And if anyone entered that Holy of Holies, except for that designated high priest, he would be struck down dead. And that was illustrated. It happened to a man named Uzziah, U-Z-Z-I-H. And they were moving the tabernacle from the wilderness, and they were taking it to the temple in Jerusalem. And they had it on an ox cart. And as they're traveling along, there was a little bit of a rough spot, and Uzzah puts his hand on that box, on that Ark of the Covenant to steady it, and he struck down dead. Because this is a holy God and a sinful man. If you want to read about it, 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So it was that no man entered that beyond that curtain except that high priest, and then he did it once a year. And then all of a sudden, that huge cloth that maybe weighed 100 pounds, it was a heavy veil, was rent from the top to the bottom, wide open. And Matthew talks about it. He in Matthew 27, this is what he said. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept were raised. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God, Matthew chapter 27. When Jesus gave up the Spirit on the cross and when he died, those tremendous things happened. And one of the things was the veil rent in the midst. And that is that the Holy of Holies, it's unimaginable to the Jew of that day, was wide open to the world. The whole world could see. That priest could only go once a year after he'd made a sacrifice. Only once. Once a year. Now it's open. And that means that the way of the is open to the whole world to come to Jesus, to come to God. Because Jesus has prayed for it. It's just almost unbelievable that veil would be rent in two. And it means that the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. And the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for all the sins. Remember, the animal sacrifices just covered them. You're like a promissory note. And every year you go and you don't have the money, and so your promissory note just signed for another year. And every year they would come and put the blood on on their sins, but never washed away. Just promissory note thing. But then when Jesus died, washed them away forever. All the sins of the world. And it means that anyone can come to God. It means that all of our sins are paid. Every person in the whole world, the sins are paid in full. But it doesn't mean a thing until you come to Jesus Christ and receive him into your life. But anybody can come, and you don't need the priest and you don't need the pastor and you don't need anything else. You can just come to Jesus right where you are. Maybe you're on a sick bed and you're sick of things are going, and you're downhearted and you want Jesus in your heart, and you don't have to call anybody or anything. You just talk to Jesus and just say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask you please to come and take them away, and I'll serve you the best I can." And maybe you'll never get out of that sick bed, but you can still serve Jesus. You can pray for people. Have a little chart, have a little booklet, and pray for them every day. And the God will lay them on your heart. Pray for so-and-so and pray for so-and-so. Mark it down. And you can serve the Lord and you can be a witness to others. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. The door of heaven is wide open. Just like the door on the ark was wide open for the whole world to come in. But one day it was closed. And Noah went to the door and he slammed the door shut. No, he didn't. God closed the door. And God's going to close a door in your life. One of these days you're going to go. And you better be ready. And you can be ready by coming to Jesus. And you ought to come to Jesus right now. And so prior to this, that only the Jew could enter the temple. Now the Gentiles can come too. And they can all can come, and the whole world can come. And so God is telling us, whosoever will may come. Whosoever believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Anybody can come. If you come confessing your sins, asking Jesus to come into your life, but you've got to do that. Just because he paid for your sins doesn't mean they're washed away. Your sins are washed away. You have to accept that pardon. Now, if you don't accept it, then you pay for that, your sins yourself, and you pay for it in hell. And God have mercy on your soul. And so it's you can make that decision. And you say, "Oh, I don't think God would put anybody in hell. He's a loving God. All my pastor talk, he just talks about he loves me all the time. He never says he gets mad. He never says anything about that. He just says he loves me, loves me, loves me. So he must love me like some grandpa, see?" Well, listen, God does love you. But I'm going to tell you something. You have to accept Jesus. And someday that love is going to end. Because when you die and you don't have Jesus, that love becomes the wrath of God. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And you move from the love of God into the wrath of God. And St. Paul says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so whether you go to heaven or you go to hell, I'm going to tell you exactly what the reason is. It's just you. You make that choice. It's all up to you. And if you choose Jesus, fine. If you don't, then you choose the other route. You go to hell. And that, and it's all your wife can't do it for you, your husband can't do it for you, children, parents. I get letters, and they say, well, my child is in to come to college, and would you write him a letter and have him come to see you? And I says, okay, I'll have to tell you why I'm writing. Who's sending? Oh, don't tell him I sent you. Well, you see, well, how are we going to do that? And nobody can do it. You have to do it yourself. You have to come yourself. And so the sins are paid. And the third thing is the Levitical priesthood ended. There's an end to it. God established the priesthood in Israel, and he gave them some explicit instructions. And he tells that they, like we said, they have to come from the tribe of Levi. There were no exceptions. And sometimes people would become, some of the priests would be evil like Eli in his old age and the great sin that he had. But they were always had to come from that tribe. But now after Jesus paid for our sins, there doesn't need to be a priesthood anymore. It ends. It ends because Jesus Christ is the high priest. And as long as he lives, we'll never have another high priest. And he will live forever and ever. So the priesthood is done. That's all put away. And this Lord Jesus comes, and he is that great servant. In Hebrews 6, verse 20, we are told, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now before you, the order, you had to be from the tribe of Levi. But now here, Jesus is going to be after the priesthood, after Melchizedek. We read about that in Hebrews chapter 7, 1 and 2. He says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, who in the world is Melchizedek? Well, as the scriptures tell us, he was the king of righteousness. He was the king of peace, this Melchizedek. And he comes on his scene, and his name means king of righteousness. And the name Salem means peace. And so he's called the king of peace. And it's all remarkable because we're given in Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20, the scriptures that he is a king priest. He's both a king and a priest. And never were united. And Saul took the place of a priest once under great consequences. But Jesus Christ is not only the king, but he's the priest and he's the Savior. All in this wonderful Jesus. And he says that this depicts him as a royal priest in Genesis 14, king priest reigning in the city called Salem, which afterwards is known as Jerusalem. And Salem means peace, city of peace. And he's going to reign there in Jerusalem. And Abraham must have been exhausted when he met Melchizedek. And he comes and he ministers to him. And he blessed him and he helps him. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, Jesus is the priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then he says that this was going to last forever. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus intercedes for us daily and hourly. And he prays for us all the time. And the devil accuses us and he tempts us, tries to get to do the sins. But God is in Jesus Christ, interceding for us, praying for us, upholding us before the throne of grace. And he'll do that until we get done with our earthly journey, until we get to heaven. Now this great high priest, just look at this for a minute. First of all, he was made by the oath of God. In Hebrews 7, verse 20, and it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn, will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And so Jesus Christ, this appointment is final. It's absolute. It's immutable. He will always be there. And when we get to heaven, we'll see him standing there at the throne of God, being our great high priest. And then Jesus Christ is superior in the 16th verse of the 7th chapter. He's made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. So the other priests lived for a while and died. But this priest, Jesus Christ, never dies. And then it tells us in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he is able to save unto the uttermost. Jesus Christ, this great high priest, is the uttermost. The uttermost of what? Well, the uttermost of sin. No matter what that sin can be, I don't care what your sin is. He who can forgive all sins, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. He said all of our sins. But it means something more too. It means the uttermost of time. There's not going to be a time when Jesus Christ, when we could lose our salvation. He is our priest, and as long as he's our priest, we're safe. We're in Christ. It means the uttermost of character, the uttermost of thought and intent of heart. We are saved, and we're saved forever in eternity. So we make this wonderful God. Jesus Christ, then, is blameless and harmless, the Holy Son of God, the Holy Word of God. He has no flaw. He has no error. He never knew a perfect, you never knew a perfect person, but Jesus Christ is perfect. And when he was born of Mary, he was perfect. And he never sinned in all of his life, in thought, in word, or in deed. He's the only sinless person that ever lived. And that's this wonderful Savior. And it says he's harmless. This wonderful Savior is harmless. He lived on the Sermon on the Mount, and he practiced what he preached, and he never hurt anybody. But he stood up for the things that were right. And he went to that cross and died for a sin. He's undefiled in heart. He's separate from sinners in life, this wonderful Savior. And because of this Lord Jesus Christ, we have a superior priest, one who will always be there, always to help us. Consider who he is. He is the Son of God. He's the light of the world. He's the fellow of Jehovah. He's a co-equal with God. He is with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, second person of the Trinity. And so we thank God for this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing is, like we preached last Sunday, he loves us. He loves us so much, he went to the cross, paid for our sins. He loves us so much that he will receive us if we just come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so we're praying today that you will personally know Jesus Christ. Jesus talked to his disciples, and he said he was going to leave them. He's going to go into heaven. And they were very upset, and they said, "What are we going to do when you're gone?" And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's telling that all the time. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, you believe in God, not enough. Not enough. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. Where I am, there I'll be also. And Thomas saith, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know if we have the road map. How do we get there?" And Jesus said, "I'll tell you how to get to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus? Pray it right now. And if you make that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write to us, we'll send you literature to help you get started on the way. In the meantime, find a church, get into a church, and meet with Christian people. Read the Gospel of John, but write to us. And then if you want to, you can tell us, write for the new song. We'll be happy to send that. And then you can also send a gift to help us in the work. because we're looking to you to stand by. We're not underwritten by any organization or any denomination or corporation. We're underwritten by the people of God as God speaks to their hearts. So you help us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. We're accountable to everything that we're doing. And so now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray especially for all those all over the world, multitudes that are praying the prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. We just pray that you'll just help them to have that assurance and help them to know that they have eternal life when they call on your name. We pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are shut in. We pray for the aged, Lord, that can't get around anymore, and just bless and help them. We pray for those in prison, Lord, so many we hear from. And we pray for the young people with their having all of the temptations and troubles that they have. Just bless them, Lord, and help them to turn to you. And you'll give them strength and help they never had before. And it's all because of Jesus. So I just pray that you'll have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you write to us. We're putting it on the screen there so you can see it. And pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And next week, we're going to be having the first Sunday in the new year. And we're going to talk about this wonderful guide, how Jesus is with us and how he shows us the way and helps us the way. He wants to lead your life, but he'll never do it unless you take him as your Savior. So you just trust him. And if you are a Christian and you drifted away, you come back to Jesus. He wants you to come back home, and he'll receive you just like he received the prodigal son. He loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish. So God bless you now, and we're going to be looking for you next week. You pray for us, we'll pray for you, and all to the glory of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.